This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning, sex talk with John T. So we are in a brand new studio.
Yes.
So I hope we're going to get everything right today and not push too many of the wrong buttons. And some very cool people with us in the studio. Thank you all so much for being here this morning. And I know it's difficult circumstances for some of you, but so appreciate it. Morning, Tamar.
Good morning, Jonty.
And Brucey is here.
Good morning.
And Kay, who organizes Joburg Pride.
Good morning, Jonty.
Is that right? You
That's
do Joburg
correct.
Pride.
I do Joburg Pride.
Okay. And other Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Who does. Have you got a Batman outfit?
I'd wear it now and then when I do funny things.
Okay. Very, very cool. And you do Pretoria Pride.
That's right.
Okay. So we were hoping to talk to some other people this morning who haven't accepted our Skype request. If they're listening, and if they do, please accept so we can chat with you guys. Otherwise, we're going to talk about Pride. Where it came from, where it started, how long it's been going. What's it all about? Who benefits from Pride? And that's kind of an interesting one that I thought about. But let us start with our dirty dictionary first.
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bang. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is...
autogonistophilia.
Dirty dictionary word.
Autogonistophilia. Any ideas, Bruce, what that might be?
Like somebody who looks in the mirror having sex.
You've got to talk a little bit closer to them.
Somebody who looks in the mirror while having sex. Sex with themselves.
Yeah, you're kind of in the neighborhood.
Gets themselves turned on. Something like that.
Not quite. Kay, any clue?
Someone that captures themselves on video and then rewatches?
No, you're moving further away. Out into the ocean.
I'd say autogonistophilia. So auto means it's your own, and gonist, I think it's like gonads, so it's probably testicles, and philia is love, so lover of your own balls.
Okay, you are so far from that. And if you were a dog, we would send you into the corner to lick your
own. Why do you think I do yoga?
That's what we say. If you can do it, do it.
That's it.
I so would.
That's it. It's an interesting question, because if you ask most guys, would they give themselves blowjobs if they could, what do you think the answer would be?
No brainer.
They wouldn't get out of bed.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've seen some interesting pictures of that, some very interesting configurations of how guys can actually do that.
Yeah.
Well, now we know why Bruce is doing yoga.
Are you? How far are you from contact?
It's something I can't talk about. I'd have to show you.
Okay. So. Well, we can make a little video clip of it. And
yeah. Now that we are Cliff Central Touch, Central Touch, so now we're all about the touch.
Will you come show us at Sexpo? I mean, that would be the most amazing attraction. Never mind Picasso, who paints with his cock. Here we have a guy who sucks his own. I mean, that would be amazing for Sexpo.
That's called self-love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll chat to my agent about it. I don't know if it fits in with my like public image just yet. But maybe, let's see.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty. It would be the best publicity for Sexpo that we can get. You can come to my Theatre of the Erotic, and I mean, we just put that out there. Come and watch this. And then all we need is a woman who can lick herself. I've never seen pictures of that.
A hell of a tongue if they can.
That is very, very far. Yeah. That is far.
That is.
Maybe there could be like a selfie stick, like elongation for your tongue. You know, like something like an extra piece.
That would be most lesbian's best friend.
Or if the guy's doing it already to himself, can't he just, pitch in, just, you know, just come on, just do mine. You know, you're already there.
So if anybody listening has actually ever seen that or has a picture or video of it, please send it, because I'd really love to see that. Yeah, it's got to be the real thing.
Yeah, no Photoshop, no Donald Trump with Putin kind of pictures. Yeah. We don't want to see that stuff. No. It's disturbing.
Because I've actually seen a picture of a guy. I have it somewhere. I had to save it because it was amazing. He's actually bending over from the waist to suck himself. Not like doing a plow position, you know, with his head over his, with his legs over his head. He's actually bending from the waist.
Wow.
So it's like whole upper body is like bent in half, flat against itself almost.
I wonder if those people that squeeze themselves into boxes in the circus can do
The contortionist.
That's it, I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, they're in that box for a long time.
Yeah.
So that, you know, to pass
they come
the
out
time.
Of the box, not the closet.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they want to stay in the box. Yeah. Come out of the closet to go into the box.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting one. Okay, so that was a little bit of a different diversion from where we're going this morning. Okay. When did Pride start? Where was the first Pride march in the world?
Hillbrow.
Not in South Africa. So
in the world.
Yes.
About South Africa. Stonewall.
Where was the first
Stonewall.
One?
Stonewall.
And New when York. Was that? What year?
1963.
Wasn't it? No.
61.
Somewhere around there.
61.
Somewhere.
So it was the early 60s.
And what was it? How many people were there? I mean, they didn't have the floats and stuff like we have today.
No, actually, it was a very solemn event.
Yeah.
And it could be categorized more as a riot, an uprising in opposed to a parade. So I think over the years, Pride has sort of evolved into a more carnivalistic type of an event, a more festival. But in the 60s, when Pride originated, it was more of an act of defiance.
Against legislation?
Against legislation, against being suppressed or suppressing suppression of the self.
It was a club. It was a club that was raided by the police. The Stonewall was a club that was frequented by the LGBTQIA community at the time, and they were raided by the police, and many people were beaten, and so a lot of the community then got together, you know, everyone, drag queens and every kind, and then they were marching, and they decided enough is enough, and that was the beginning of the liberation.
It was actually it was led by the drag artists, both men and women of the time, because actually dressing in clothes of the opposite sex was an illegal practice.
Okay,
and Stonewall as a venue was sheltering that in terms of acceptability. It provided a haven where people could be themselves and dress how they wanted to in whichever form of clothes, form of gender, without discrimination. And like Bruce says, yes, it was then raided and shut down, and the march or the revolt came as a result of that action.
Okay. And what was the response to that? Public response and political response?
So there was a huge backlash, and a lot of people were, you know, certain people were public figures, and they were exposed, and their details were
They weren't they didn't come out voluntarily.
So a lot of a lot of people lost their jobs and were exposed for being present at the event, and that's what sort of, because there was a lot of violence, and the riots then began because people were like, well, screw you, we're going to fight back.
Yeah, well, basically they closed the bar club Stonewall, and all the police were inside, and the people were outside and started pelting in the windows, and the police were actually scared. They were inside the club at that stage, and they had to get themselves out, and that's why they called more reinforcements to come through and help them. So it was basically they took the police hostage, basically, and they got pretty scared, and then the people realized that you don't have to be scared of the police, they're human beings.
So it was actually quite a groundbreaking event.
Huge.
At the time. Huge. How many people were involved, more or less?
A couple of hundred.
Yeah.
Not more than.
And that was it.
Yeah. And Stonewall, I believe, has now been made a
memorial site.
Yeah. So it's been. We'll be there forever, hopefully.
So it wasn't actually that many people at the club that night, but what happened was there was a ripple effect. So you had members of the LGBTQI community who were lawyers and who had some kind of political swing, who then decided, for some bizarre reason, it was like a what's the word, like a water
Watershed.
Watershed moment, and people decided to like bugger this, and they started getting involved, and that's when people, you know, people with swing who had legal abilities started getting involved in the process and started fighting for LGBTQI rights.
Wow. And when did it spread from there? How did it spread? How did it mutate into what it is today?
Well, I think because it became an event where people saw that you could stand up and nothing would happen to you. You weren't going to be thrown into jail, and it started to grow. And, you know, it's like a snowball. It just kept on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, of course, cities around the world started to follow suit, and the people in there said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. So it was basically from one city to the next. But I think about 10 years later, when they call it the spring, Julie Garland, when she passed away and she became an icon, so it became like a double tragedy, and then they decided to make a flag for it, and then that became an icon. So that started spreading around the world, and people raised and went towards a flag to say, listen, this is our flag, and then we started moving forward from there.
So I think there's two things, you know. In terms of Pride as a event, it is a positive stance against discrimination as well as life experiences of the LGBTI community. And what has happened since then is that there's the rainbow flag or the pride flag or the gay flag. There's so many terms that reference the same thing, but it's actually a multicolored flag that has symbols that actually have meaning. And it was developed or created by Gilbert. Okay, his surname has evaded me now, but a San Francisco-based artist back in the time. And it has, you know, changed somewhat over the years, but the essence of it has remained the same. So, like, if you look at Johannesburg Pride, and what we do is every year we take a new color from the flag because they have different meanings.
So each color has a different significance.
Okay. Last year our color was blue, and this year our color is orange. So orange, which would be then the base color that we use throughout our posters and decor, as actually healing. So one of the reasons why we did orange this year was, you know, in light of the Orlando incident earlier this year and the amount of discrimination and hate crimes that are going on in South Africa, we thought that we'll send out a message of healing. And so we decided to use orange as our color for this year's Pride. And then we themed that together with a hashtag no filters theme. So that's just in terms of where Pride is and how the association of the flag and the stance go together.
So I just wanted to say the big paradigm shift for Stonewall was that, I mean, the LGBTQ community had always existed, but it had always been clandestine and hidden and in the shadows, and people were so almost ashamed or frightened, and there was a lot of arrests, and people were victims of crime and all types of prejudice. But with Stonewall, it was the first time that the LGBT community saw that if they make a scene, if they out loud and proud, literally come out of the closet in a public forum, that all of a sudden, that's when they started claiming power. And that's why Pride is such a powerful thing, is because it's not only is it a celebration, but it's a here we are and we are loud and we are proud, and you cannot take advantage of us and you cannot hurt us anymore. And that's when we started fighting. And I think that's what's so wonderful about Pride, is it's an opportunity to ensure that we're not being discriminated against, and that we're not discriminating against each other, as well as bringing who we are into the spotlight for the greater society and community.
I think it's also, you know, creating a platform that's shared by the entire community. So something we were talking about before the show, if you look at the composition of the community, or break it down into, there's lesbians, there's gay males, there's transgender, intersex, asexual, queer, and the nouns or pronouns that people use to identify themselves is so diverse. And you're bringing multifaceted people together under one umbrella for one event. And that's what Pride is. It's that platform to come and be yourself, to express yourself in whichever way you want, whichever way you feel or think or see yourself, visualize yourself, or actualize yourself. But also, you know, we have it at normal venues. I mean, I think Bruce has it at the rugby field. Our venue this year is Melrose Arch. So we're also integrating it into society. We're not doing it now after dark, you know, when everyone is safely installed in their houses, like it started. Now we're doing it loud and proud in, you know, known areas, busy centres, showcasing our diversity, but also showing the community that we want to integrate with that we have a united front. We can come together in all our differences and still find commonality and still celebrate together this wonderful, this beautiful differences that we all have.
So does that actually really happen? Because I know that it's a very split community at times.
We're our own worst enemy, basically.
Well, does that actually happen? Is it a platform where people do come together in that way?
It is, most of the times. But I think they feel people should correct what they're doing is instead of fighting amongst it, join it and fight with. Don't swim against the current. There's a good current moving.
Change
good
it from inside, not from outside.
That's 100%. And the quicker then better we do it. Instead of standing next to the sidelines and saying, I wasn't invited, I wasn't allowed to do this, I wasn't, you know, it quite pisses people off. You know, say, we must do this and we must do that. Get off your arse and come and do it. So not us to do it.
I think for me, Johannesburg Pride is a free event. So anyone is welcome. It's also made up of volunteers. It's an unfunded NPC made up of volunteers. So I have quite a diverse group of people that work with me. And we welcome anyone that wants to come and assist. In terms of the differences, Johannesburg or Gauteng as a metropole is huge. It covers a very big demographic. Mm. Covers a very diverse demographic. And there are about 5 prides, official prides that take place in Gauteng. And they range from very solemn activist or protest type of events to, I think what Bruce and I do a lot in similarity is a carnival type of a celebration. For me, the taking is very simple. If you look at where we are in the year 2016, we're catering for the generational gap, you know, and your biggest attendees in terms of trending, what's happening, the future of the community, are your Generation Zs, your millennials. I don't even feature in those categories anymore. And you've got to look at what is going to appeal to them. Because if we don't make Pride current and relevant, we're going to lose the future generations of Pride goers. So, yes, I get that we need to have a human rights activation associated to Pride. And there are many NGOs that are funded that have the ability and the mandates and the policies in place to take this further. Also, they have the skilled resources to take this further. From our perspective, we put together an event that provides a platform for these NGOs to come and showcase. And that is, for us, our human rights activation into the community.
Does Pride raise money?
Pride doesn't make money. They don't raise money. Pretoria, it probably costs me money.
Pretoria Pride at the moment is standing at a 311,000 rand loss over 3 years. But it's in the long run, the bigger it gets, the more sponsors get involved, the more the people come, the more money it'll generate, and it'll be self-funding. It can fund itself. And the ultimate goal to have a pride, the pie in the sky, should we say, is to have a strong community. That's the most important thing. We've got to realize that no strong community, just think of it. We have the politicians fighting about all sorts of shit that they do fight about. And then if they see, here's the little gay community, the LGBTI community, can't even stand together.
But it's an incredibly influential community. 100%.
But what they see is they see Pride and there's only 400 people. They think that community can't stand together. We can do what we want with them. So you know what? We'll change the constitution and nothing's going to happen because they can't even stand together. And the minute they do stand together, we have strong prides where there's 20,000, where they see there's a priest coming from America. We're going to stand at the airport and bellow the hell out of him and say, listen, we don't like you. But if only four people arrive at the airport, you know, the people out there are going to say, what is wrong? This is a bunch of monkeys. We didn't listen to
a
them.
A homophobic priest, though, not just any priest. Yeah. He's a priest who has he's got terrible policies against LGBT people. He believes that we should be killed and et cetera. So that's why it's not just any priest.
Yeah. So these are the things we must do when we stand together as a community. And the quicker we get that, I mean, there will be diversities. There will be infighting. We're all not perfect, but we've got to stand as one. No matter what our differences are, and the people on the outside, the straights, the homophobes, can look and they say, we better not mess with these guys. That's what we've got to portray in the long run.
When was the first Pride march in South Africa?
Johannesburg Pride's first Pride was in 1990.
Was that before Cape Town?
Yes, Johannesburg was the first longest. Pride. It was in Hillbrow.
That's right.
Before my time.
Yeah. I was there. Good God. Yeah. Lots of oil and delay. It works well. Just put your oil and cream on every single day. Oil your joints. You know, the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, we are. Yeah. He gives us, you know. But yeah, and I still remember the slogan that we shouted as we went down the road. And a lot of people, we should actually reinvent that. We should have a slogan that people can shout and scream. It's here, we're queer, get used to it. And we walked along the road through Hillbrow and shouted, we are here, we are queer, get used to it.
And did that have the floats and things like
that? No. There was about 100 odd people and it rained that day too. And a couple of people they didn't want to be seen in public. So they took, in those days when you went to the shops, you used to get a brown paper packet to put your shopping into. Yeah. Not a plastic bag.
Yeah.
So they used to draw faces on it and cut the eyes open and the mouths open. And of course, it started to piss with rain, and vruggies, the bags had to come off. But it was only a couple of hundred people in those days. Started at the Hillbrow Recreation Center, went down Pretoria there, past the Chelsea, down towards past the Res Club, and came back and ended up back at the Recreation Center.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I mean, 99% of the Morphy stayed in Ruddy Hillbrow in those days. I mean, they were the best flats. They used to cat fast to get a flat in Hillbrow.
Wow.
Okay. How many people are involved in Joburg Pride today?
So last year, we actually had to close the gates at about 2 o'clock because our venue was full. So we had it last year at the Wanderers Rugby Field, and we filled the venue.
Wow.
It was incredible. We had a very, very diverse crowd. I mean, we've seen people from all walks of life attend Pride. And then we had about 2,000 people outside the gates still trying to come in.
Amazing.
I think you're allowed about between 10,000 and 15,000 people, depending on how much of infrastructure you have on the grounds. It was difficult to keep track, but yeah, it was massive.
Mm. That's amazing. And then it becomes this wonderful party.
Yeah, the end. It's crazy party. But
it's a celebration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which are the prides running that are more serious at the moment?
So we have
People's Pride in Hillbrow.
People's Pride, which is a march that takes place from Constitutional
Hill.
It marches through Hillbrow and comes back to Constitutional Hill. And then you have Soweto Pride.
Soweto, Ekurhuleni and Vaal.
Yeah, Soweto, Ekurhuleni and Vaal are run by separate committees. I know Soweto Pride is run by FEW, which is an empowerment for women NGO. And their focus is on the lesbian community. They have a big mandate in terms of assistance in corrective rape. And that is one of the, you know, causes which is phenomenal in terms of the work that they do in the community. And Soweto Pride is the main initiative in terms of pride, focused around, I think, the lesbian community.
And around the country, what else happens? Is there an actual pride in Cape Town?
Yes.
Yeah. They've been going for quite a while.
Yeah. It's Cape 10 Town. Years. Yeah, it's 10 years.
10 odd. There's Port Elizabeth, a PE.
We recently had Durban. Durban Pride.
Durban's growing. It was very small.
Third Pride. Yeah.
Well, they had before, but it stopped in between.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They've had more than three, but major ones have. It's been up and down, but it's also, it's been a lot of catfights and getting it going, and it's growing, and it was very, very good this year. It was phenomenally. And it rained too. Mm-hmm. And they still walked down the beachfront in the rain. It was fabulous.
It always rains. Because
it's nice and warm in the rain there.
So. Yeah. Cool. It was. They had it was just after the big AIDS conference as well. So they actually moved. It's normally the week before the July handicap. Mm. That's when they try to do it because focus
people
on
are
it.
In town.
And so what they did is they moved to the end of July when they had the end of the AIDS conference. Mm. So a lot of the delegates, I think, and the momentum of that helped them a lot.
So the organizations that put floats together and things, they fund that all themselves?
So we don't do floats, and we haven't done floats for the last three years. Johannesburg Pride's parade policy has gone green. So we are trying to be progressive in our outlook in terms of what we do and conscious in terms of our social integrations. And we welcome anyone to the parade in any form. If they want to bring a bicycle, skateboard, roller skates, dress up. It's you're welcome. We do not allow any form of vehicles in terms of float entries. With a lot of convincing from the community, we last year added a bus to the parade, to the front of the parade. That was purely to provide music and entertainment for the parade attendees.
Pretoria, we have as many floats as we like. We believe the people must be flamboyant. Yeah. I mean, I've got pictures here of people used to paint their car like the gay flag. I mean, they used to go out of their way. I mean, the floats were over the top. I mean, that, I think, is part of showing off something, showing what you can do. Lots of feather boas, lots of things, and people don't want to walk a long distance. We want to close as many roads as possible, go through the main streets, and floats help, cars help. We've got I think we'll have quite a lot of about 29 floats this year, and it's something that just showcases and just get out of there. And you know what, rich queen doesn't want to show if he's convertible. Come, let's get bloody cool. I've spent a fortune on this car. I want to see it flip down the hot and have a hot boy on the back. I mean, they want to do it. I mean, come on, I want to show off my Versace outfits. And you know, let's do it. I mean, get out there. I mean, there's some great outfits, and just show color and fantastic.
I think one of the things to bear in mind about Pride in general is that there are many ways up a mountain, and a lot of people, so some people feel, you know, this is a solemn thing. Many people died. Many people had horrible experiences, and we shouldn't be celebrating that. But I think it's like anything in life. For example, some people, when somebody dies, they throw a wake and they celebrate that person's life. And other people want to have a solemn funeral, and so it's all up to how you express your pride and how you want to celebrate what you've been through. And it could be a party, and it could be just getting together and sharing a poem or something.
And yeah, and I want to share that for me, you know, I was really I wasn't, you know, I was raised in Tel Aviv, and it was kind of like, you know, being gay was cool. Nothing was, you know, I never grew up with that consciousness of hatred. But when I got to Amsterdam, when I was quite young, and I saw the most amazing parade, it made me actually think how cool it is. Like I said, why am I not gay? It's actually so cool. It was, you know, it was something to look, and I think it sounds silly, but it's actually something that people can see in the street and say, wow, what a beautiful, wonderful way to be creative, to be alive, to be awakened, to be conscious. So it's something that has to say, I'm here and I'm fabulous, and there's so much to be proud of, hence Pride.
100%.
Yeah.
Are there any pride parades in Israel?
Amazing.
Huge.
These years, last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It happens in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv. There's a few. In Jerusalem, they're still fighting because of religious problems as well, which is...
Do they have a march in Jerusalem?
But it's still, you know, which streets are going to happen. When are they closing? There's a lot of problems there. I can't be more against it. You know, it's like, it's horrible. But Tel Aviv is the best parade now. It's
they have about 400,000, 500,000. Easy.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Without a question of
all
that.
All over the world. It became a big, big
capital. It's an
international
event.
I saw a picture of the Israeli Airlines. What's it? They painted in Tel Aviv Pride, and they painted the ribbon, the gay flag, across one of the airplanes.
It's amazing.
Mm-mm-mm. very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, very nice.
It's exciting because it encourages the rest of the world to also just open their eyes. I mean, in Africa alone at the moment, we have so many countries where it is illegal. And I mean, I know recently attempts to have pride in Uganda and these other countries where people are literally being slaughtered for being members of the LGBTQ community. So that's one of the reasons why I'm very pro getting pride out there, because if other countries can see this is the way to do it, you know, this is how to embrace other ways of being, we'll minimize the crime and this violence.
Mm. By example.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, if you look at Israel, Tel Aviv Pride is, I think, the only pride in the Middle East. And what Bruce
I can't says. Imagine too many of the other countries
enthusiastic.
What Turkey had one, it was broken up by the police and tear gassed and water cannoned. Yeah. So it was. Yeah, I think that would have been quite fun.
I think
the tear gas.
Get into that water. White t-shirt, wet t-shirt competition, girls.
Wow, so it's really grown into this amazing international.
Well, there is something called World Pride.
Mm-hmm.
So we as Johannesburg Pride are a member of the Interpride, which is an international pride organizing body. So it's for NGOs or companies that organize pride. It's almost like a affiliate program, and they control World Pride. So to date, World Pride has only taken place in the Western or the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And partly because of Pride Month being in June, which is the summer period, and our Pride's being more towards the end of the year. So it's a bit of a calendar issue with that. But, you know, I think if we grow our events and you know, keep an eye in terms of making it accessible, in terms of making it world-class events, and keeping it current, keeping it trending, I don't see why we can't have a World Pride in South
so
Africa.
So if we can do a World Cup, we can do a World Pride.
Exactly, John.
Definitely.
There we go.
And I think to zoom out even further, there's also a global movement, which I wrote about it in a recent article that I think is going to be published in Exit, about taking pride, which is the philosophy behind it. Mm. So it's wonderful to be able to get together with your friends maybe once or twice a year, wherever you live, and then march and party and celebrate. But there's also the philosophy, which is everyday living, taking pride in yourself in terms of, sorry, I have to go the sexual health route being from that I'm from ANOVA, but taking pride in yourself as a person and making sure that when you play safe, use a condom. If you are HIV positive, taking pride in yourself and getting the help that you need and taking your ARVs and adhering to it. And if you are HIV negative and you want to stay that way, you can go on to PrEP and take pre-exposure prophylaxis or whatever it is to make sure that you stay HIV negative, and just taking pride in yourself and your community. And I think that's one of the things that's so wonderful about it, is that it's not just a case of like once a year you remember that you're who you are. It's remembering who you are 365 days a year and being proud of it and looking after yourself.
So that comes from the consciousness in the community, essentially.
Exactly.
100%, yeah. Okay. You've got to keep it going through the whole year. Mm. I mean,
because that's the thing with a lot of these events, you know, that they need to be not just one day or one weekend, like Sexpo we have one weekend of, but expanding that into a year-long event, essentially, with lots of different spin-offs.
I can see it, you know. At the moment, like Pretoria Pride is running at a huge loss, but I think this year it'll pretty much more or less break even for the first time, but it'll still be in the loss situation. Then once you come to a point of strength, you can start moving out and doing other things. Mm. And that way we can say, listen, let us keep the thing going. And people think, and you know, it's bad. People just think, Pride's one day. It takes 2 days to organize. Hello, we'll set up on the Monday and the Friday will be ready. And how comes this party? There's a shitload of work to do. I mean, you've got to go through Metro Police. There's this. There's
it's
fire.
A
there's
process.
It takes ages. I mean, just to get jock approval sometimes is enough to drive a person insane. But you know, it has to be done. So many toilets, so many people, so much ventures, so much security. And now you've got to sit there. Then you've got to go through your medical things. Yeah, you've got to get your medical approval. You've got to get your doctors that are going to be there on call. Hospitals got to be notified. How are you going to evacuate if something happens? And all these type of things. And it takes months and months of planning. And the more people get involved, the easier it'll become. At the moment, at like Pretoria, there was three of us that started it. Nobody came to help. And it got better, and people slowly getting on board, you know. What the people is, let's jump on the bandwagon when the car is ready going. You know what I mean? That won't push started.
Yeah.
That's flipping hard, you know what I mean, work. But once it's going, it's easy to get on board, you know.
Yeah.
Why did you get involved in Pride?
I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. In 2013, there was a meeting in Melville, and I actually went to have coffee with someone else, and I ended up at the meeting. And nothing made logical sense. So as an IT professional, and I have a very strong project management background, and I've got my PMI certifications and a whole lot of other project management related qualifications, none of it was making sense to me. And I stuck up my hand saying, you know what? It needs funding, it needs a plan, it needs people, and it needs the human rights activists, but we all need to work together. And some days later, I was tracked down on Facebook saying, do you want to get involved? We started off being, I think, about 20-odd people, and by the end of the first month, we were down to two. And I'm not the type of person that walks away from anything I start, I see through. So we had the Pride in 2013, relatively smaller than previously, but you know, we kept the tradition going, and we kept the name of Johannesburg Pride going. So you couldn't have had a 25th Pride if you didn't have a 24th Pride type of a situation. So we did Pride in 2013 and Pride in 2014 and Pride in 2015, and we're now busy with 2016, and the team has now grown to about 12 people. I do a little bit less than I did previously. I'm also trying to get more youngsters involved. That is their future, so they need to start. And you know, if they start off with smaller chunks, the big bowl doesn't look so frightening. So I'm getting a lot of college students and, you know, fresh ideas, brand. I've got someone that's studying brand management. She's looking at that. I've got creative students from fashion and graphics, and they're looking at that. And
what's the dates of the Joburg Pride?
Joburg Pride is on the 29th of October.
And if people want more info, is there a website?
There is, Facebook. And there's a Facebook page, Johannesburg Pride, johannesburgpride.co.za.
Very good, by the way. Very nice page.
Yeah. When is the Pretoria Pride, Bruce?
1st of October.
Okay.
So that's all yeah, it's always the first week in October.
Okay.
We took it, and then Joburg is always the last.
The last weekend. We're in Mozambique that weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's it's tradition that they have the one's the beginning and the one's the end. So
okay.
And it's easy to remember.
And a website, a Facebook page?
We've just got the Facebook page, Pretoria LGBTI Pride. Okay. And we're pushing everything through there at the moment.
How did you get involved?
I used to be involved in Johannesburg Pride at one stage. I was one of the founding members of Joburg Pride years ago. And it just, to me, just lost its soul. And it was going completely not where it was. Wasn't representing anybody. It was just, I think, just became a carnival. You know, don't get anybody involved with it. It's our way or the highway, basically. That's what they were saying. And I said, you know what, count me out. If it's not for the community, I'm not going to be here. So I think that's where a lot of things happen. And then a lot of people revolted against it. We could see there was going to be a train smash. It wasn't, it didn't have the heart in it. And we were sitting one day in Pretoria and the people said, well, why don't we just start a Pride in Pretoria? I said, well, hello. That's where that word comes up again. My most hated word in the community. We.
We.
They say, we need to do this. Yeah. And I say, for God's sake, when you say we, include yourself. Mm. Don't say, Bruce, you must do this. That's a difference.
I need to do this.
Thank you. And that's exactly what they do. And they say, we must do this. And they gave us this huge thing to do. And it was a fight in the beginning. I mean, Pretoria is very verkrampt and very, you know, religious and this, that.
When was the first Pretoria Pride?
It was 3 years ago. This is our fourth one.
Quite new.
Yeah, this is our fourth one now. And we went pillar to post, say, listen, we want to start it. And of course, you know, you get these, they sort of a closeted RVB people, sort of, you know, and I've still got the one email. We wanted just a piece of ground to use that we could have Pride. And the guy that was in charge of the parks area where it was, he sent an email and said, dit sal nooit in my tijd gebeur.
Mm-hmm.
Big letters. And I went, and I thank God there were some DA people that I knew and pulled some strings, and we got hello, and I think he got shat on, and he sent an email back, said, sorry, let's do it. and they gave us something.
Quack, quack, quack.
And the weekend after Pride, I sent him a nice email, the big letters, no cake, meneer, dit het gebeur. And it's been getting better and better every year. And, you know, we're trying to incorporate everybody and trying to, but Rome wasn't built in one day. I mean, it's like a wheel. Every year you've got to put a new spoke on it. And it's going to get, and then we'll have a complete wheel when everything is 100%. We're getting, slowly but surely, people are coming on board, which is great.
Any of the universities doing a Pride Parade?
UJ does quite a lot of work, but we have a big UJ Liberati student base that joins or attends Johannesburg Pride with all their banners. And they
Tix has their own one. They have a parade around the university, and they have a Gay Pride Week, which is the week usually before Pride. Tix does quite a lot with it.
Wits as well. Wits has got quite a big LGBT movement here.
Yeah.
And Wits does a parade as well within the campus.
It's quite nice.
So it's fascinating. You know, I've never done any real reading or research on it. But going back to the origins, I actually really never knew that. And I just think to myself sitting here, why have I never kind of read that stuff? Because it's just fascinating that that's how the whole thing began.
And you know what, which is great, you know, I think the youth have lost a lot and they've misunderstood, and it's our generation that is to blame for that, because we haven't educated the youth that has come up.
To keep the roots alive.
Of what, let's go back to basics and showing. And there is a big movement in America and England at the moment, which is fantastic, where the young people are making videos and showing this is where Pride comes from. This is, and there was the one video, they say, hello, so I saw a 35-year-old man, 40-year-old man at a club. I mean, they should rather stay away. They should rather show respect, because they fought for your rights, where you've got a right to hold somebody's hand in public.
There's been a long history of sexual and gender repression and violence in South Africa.
And those people don't understand where they've come from and what people went through to give them those rights. I mean, there was a huge lot of fighting, and there was a lot of discrimination against it and things like that. But you know what? We've moved past that. We're here now. We've got it. Let's keep it. Let's celebrate it, and let's move forward, and let's make sure we keep it.
I think something that the three of us were chatting about before the show is that how in this we have such a diverse community. The LGBTQIA community is so diverse, and people have such complex and diverse backgrounds. And the one thing about the community that unifies everybody is that we've had so much discrimination and oppression. So a people who have been discriminated against and have been victims of oppression for so long will harbor a lot of anger and frustration, and that anger and frustration often emerges amongst ourselves. We have such different cultures, backgrounds, outlooks, approaches to life, ways of doing things. It is impossible for there not to be conflict. Conflict causes creation. We have to have conflict to create a new way of seeing things. But I think the challenge, and which is so wonderful with approaching Pride, is, are you going to be one of those people who sits on the sidelines and just breaks it down and criticizes it and just brings anger to the table? Or are you going to be one of those people who's going to, as you said, get on board, get involved? If you want to see something be different, be the change you want to see in the world, to quote Gandhi.
So it's a real call to action.
It is. 100%. It is. And I think, you know, there's something that every Pride goer needs to understand. Johannesburg Pride or Pretoria Pride, as Bruce said, you know, we have to go through the processes. We are a public event. We are a free event.
Because a lot of people come just because it's a party and an excuse to dress up.
And it's free, and we welcome them, you know, if that is the base that they use to attend Pride. We also welcome support bases, so your PFLAGs, the straight alliances. It's an open platform for everyone, not just LGBT. But these events are all subject to the rules and regulations of the Operations Committee, the Disaster Planning, the Metro Police, SAPS, your risk ratings. And as part of that, you know, we cannot allow people to bring in their own alcohol. We cannot allow people to bring in their own food.
Once you've done all your planning and stuff, or once you start, how cooperative are the police forces, traffic cops, things like that?
You know what? If you work with them, they're very good. I mean, you've got to go through and you say, listen, what do you want me to do to make this work? And then he will say to you, I want X, Y, and Z. If you want that, we will do it. And that is where you much approach it and say, listen, this is what we are going to do. And touch wood, we've had no problems. I mean,
everything is based on your previous year. If something happens, it affects your insurance for the next year. I mean, there's public liability you've got to take out. And sometimes, you know, if you can't get a public liability, you're not going to get the event done. And if something happens, your rate goes up or down. And that creates, I mean, our first public liability for Pride was 20,000 Rand for the day. And it's come down to like 5.5. So it's great differences. But
and the
money that's got to be.
And the municipalities are supportive?
Yeah. Yeah. But also, I mean, everything is linked to your South African police risk grading of your event. If your categorization for your event is a high category, high risk event, everything goes up. It causes a ripple effect right down to the number of security you need to have on site, the medics that you need to have on site. If you have a higher than a B or A categorization.
A low, medium and a high.
You need a doctor with your ambulance and your medic staff. So it's a whole lot of things that go.
So I would imagine medic staff are really important from some of the activities and the way people behave at Pride.
A lot of the things, the problems with Pride is people are either getting dehydrated from heat or they've drunk too much and they've had too much. And so those are usually the problems. I mean, I've sprained ankle here, kicked my toe here, I got blisters from my high heels. Those are the main problems that you're going to get. So touch wood, there isn't usually stabbings like they had overseas. But, you know, we just touch wood, it doesn't happen. We've got to look at it and say, listen, we plan for it.
So, I mean, Johannesburg Pride in 27 years, and I mean, I've only done it for four, but knowing the history, there was about three major incidences in the history. In the last 4 years, we have medics on site, we have the crew, we haven't had, touch wood, the need to use them. So, yeah, so far, so
maybe
good.
Maybe you're just sending a message also. Guys, party responsibly.
100%.
Just come and you know, you enjoy yourself. You know, people that come and party, just, you know, just enjoy. Really know what, it's also another consciousness
take
exercise.
Pride.
Yeah, take pride and take responsibility. Enjoy life.
We put out a nice little poster that says your, this is your pride kit for the day, your handbag, your lipstick, your lip ups, your water, your sunblock, you know, and a condom, a lube. And you put, it's fun.
Yeah,
Tongue in cheek, but it's things that you do need to have. You know, like make sure you got the right shoes. Make sure you got lipstick for the. You make sure you got lip gloss. Make all these type of things.
Comfortable and fun, and that you're really going to enjoy it.
Put it down. You know, if you put it in a fun way, the people will accept it. But if you say, "Oh, don't sit there like a verkrampte old bloody man with his whip and saying, yay, mutter, you must," I forget it. People are going to tell you to piss off. We're going to do our own thing.
Don't wag the finger.
But you know, just one more thing, Jonty, about Bruce, what he said, the little Bruce, about the fact that if we can unite as citizens, you know, we should also, you know, when you don't vote, you know, when you don't vote, you don't count. And the same is with the community. You know, what you're expressing here is let's make a difference, let's make an impact, let's unite, because really everybody can sit in the corner and say, you know, I don't agree with him and that. As citizens, we also don't agree with one another, but we know. We have to show up and get involved.
But change from the inside.
100%.
Get involved. 100%. Yep. And that's really what it is.
I mean, I've put it out on social media. We've been asked to do more in terms of activism.
There's that we again.
When I say we, I mean Johannesburg Pride. As an organization, we've been asked to do more activism, and we don't have the means. We don't have the funds. But, you know, I've appealed to the community to say, if you have a plan, if you have an idea of how we can do more without funding, with your help, so come with your plan, but also come with your time.
Or if you can find somebody, why not 100%. Make that your job? Find somebody who can fund your idea for activism.
Yeah.
So why should somebody else have to go and find the funding for your amazing idea? Go and find the funding yourself. You can do it.
Well, Pride this year, Pretoria Pride.
That was very virulent.
Sure. Bruce for president.
Where did that come from? It's just, it's one of those situations where it's so easy to be critical. You know, so many people sit, and it's a part of our culture as well, where people are very, you know, acid and standing on the sidelines like, oh, that's it's a crap and I hate it. And X, Y, Z. And it's an archetype that propagates itself because people are just sitting back and being negative. And this should be like this and that should be like such. If you want it to be different, then do it yourself. And I think this is the thing, is things take money. So if you feel that you're not being represented or nothing is happening in a way that you like for it, then why not take a stab at doing it yourself? No, well, why must somebody else save you?
Pretoria Pride at this given time is standing at 251,000 for the day. That's what it's costing to put it on. And it's a free event. We get a bit of money from the clubhouse, from people to buy tickets. That's 40,000 rand. I mean,
if come you sell all
it.
Your tickets, Bruce.
If we sell all our 400 tickets, that's fantastic. But you look at 251,000 rand. There's a lot of, and people arrive on the day and say, oh, yes, it's just a field. Yeah, hello. Yeah. Wake up and smell the bloody coffee.
So we've done things differently this year. We've shaken up the old and brought it to a more trendy place. So we're doing Melrose Arch. We're starting much later. We're starting our build-up for the parade at 2 o'clock with a little bit of entertainment and a fashion show in the piazza outside Melrose Arch. We're then doing a parade within the precinct of Melrose Arch, mm-hmm. and an after party that's starting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
All in Melrose Arch?
In Melrose Arch. So we're using one precinct for everything. The reason why, it's a little bit deeper in terms of the story. So we always were told Pride starts too early, the parade is too early, no one has enough time to dress and titivate before 10 o'clock, and then, you know, you walk in midday sun, sunburn, then you're in the rugby field or in a field or park for the rest of the afternoon, and the weather permitting or unpermitting is horrendous to the skin, and let's face it, most of us are about...
Looking good.
Yeah. Where's the biggest pride in the world? San Francisco?
No, Barcelona. And Rio. Rio, yeah. Rio, São Paulo. That's the biggest.
Wow, that's cool. Fascinating. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. This has been really, really cool.
Are we going to see you at Pride, Jonty?
What day again?
29th of October.
We know you in Mozambique.
No, 29th of October is Sexpo.
Okay.
Oh, so wow.
You can bring the porn stars.
So I will
hello. What an open invitation.
We do Sexpo in the morning and Pride in the afternoon.
So let's go back to autogonistophilia. It's a fetish for having others spy on you when you're naked or having sex. So the difference between this and exhibitionism is often unaware, and this is where you create situations. So like you'll be naked in front of a window
leave
or you'll
go
have sex
open.
In pub. That's it.
Okay. Oops, is that why in the porn movies they always have sex in front of the window sills overlooking the city? Is that the whole thing?
End of September.
No, it's the last weekend in October this year.
Oh, okay.
So
they changed
that's when it.
It
is. Yeah. So something interesting. We are holding auditions for a co-host for Sex Talk. So...
Ooh.
Message us through the station. Email me, jonty@eroslife.co.za. You have to be open-minded.
And yeah, really open-minded.
So there's no giggling, there's no shyness. You have to be really sexually open. You don't have to know a lot about sex, but you do have to be open. So let us know if you're interested, and we will set up some time for everybody to come into the studio.
If people, when they come for their interviews, are they allowed to bring props? Props and extra people and things.
The more they bring, the more chances they have to get accepted.
We are kind of getting more visual on the show.
Just open or experienced and honest.
I think
are you going to give them challenges?
Yeah, open.
Hello.
Open and honest. You don't need to be that experienced, but open and honest. And obviously, you have to be really fascinated by all aspects of sexuality. And that's it. Yes. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So coming up this week on Tuesday night is our first water massage for summer to celebrate spring.
Only
it's really
two
beautiful.
More places left.
And two more places available for the retreat in Mozambique. We are almost full for the end of October, and that is just amazing. And I can't wait for that.
End of October.
First of October. First of October. Is,
you're getting us confused here. Yes. Hello.
So
Sexpo, end of October, Mozambique, and then hello.
I'm getting myself
Bruce,
confused.
Let's go.
Yeah, hello.
Fantastic.
They can beam me up, Scott. He'll be from one to the other. Sexpo, Mozambique within one weekend. Fantastic.
So that's all happening. On the 20th of September, I'm doing an expanded orgasm workshop. So the info for that will be on my Facebook page this week. Guys, this has been really, really wonderful. I've learned a lot this morning. I really have. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having us.
And yeah, it's such an important platform to talk about all these events. And the more awareness that we can create and the more people we can get involved, the more we can grow them for everybody. And that's so important.
100%.
So thank you for coming to share with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Bruce, for setting all up.
Oh, no. You're welcome. Thank you.
But it is. And, you know, if people don't come and talk to us often, we know what's going on, but we don't always know the importance of it and the connection and the context. And that, for me, is the biggest thing in so much of conscious sexuality and exploring. And I was talking to a client about this yesterday. The context to put something in becomes so important. Then we understand it. We understand where it comes from. We understand the possibilities and where we can go with it.
Yeah. It's so true. A lot of people, they read something and they say, oh, that's, yeah, I know that. It's easy. I say, well, pronounce it. Constantinople, you know. Yeah. Hello. And they can't even do it. They sit on the side of...
Like autogonistophilia.
100%. Get out there and actually try it.
That's it. So thank you again, and I wish you all so much pleasure.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.